Let's turn to the book of Revelations, chapter 19. The book of Revelations, chapter 19. First of all, I want to be thankful for each and every one of you that come out today. And my prayer is that the Lord speak to my heart and also speak to your heart and draw us all a little closer to Him. Because if we're not drawn closer to Him, something is wrong with us. But this morning, I want to start up here in verse number 11. And we'll go down to verse probably 17, 18. But in verse 11, Revelation 21? 19. Okay, that's what it is. I thought it said 21. Revelation 19, verse 11. All right, 19 and verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thighs a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying, To all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come, and gather yourself together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sat on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the king of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. We've just read right here, and it's speaking about, this is the first mention of speaking about the Armageddon in the battle there. But I'm not going to get into that today. But what I want to look at verse number 17. And it says, I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying, To all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourself together unto the supper of the great God. This is going to be the greatest supper. It's going to be the greatest reunion that we going to ever be at, and we're going to ever have an opportunity to go. But we need to have also, and we need to remember that before this can come to pass, that we have to go through the rapture, the catching away, and what it's talking about in the book of Thessalonians, chapter number 4, I believe it is. The word rapture is not in the Word of God, but it means the same thing is being caught away and being caught up with God. We need to be caught up with Him. And we as individuals here today are likened unto the Son of the living God. We see over here in Titus chapter 2. Excuse me. Yeah. Titus chapter 2. And it's speaking of the same thing. It's speaking about the grace of God. We see down in verse 11. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." The grace, which is God's redemption. And His redemption is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ at Christ's expense. Grace, God's grace. And the redemption of God's grace. And it was at God's grace that we became a citizen of His. And Christ is grace. Christ, He provided the unmerited grace that He had. And the reason He done that at Calvary. He done that when He hung between heaven and earth. It's the grace of God. And we'll see right here, not the grace of God, but God's grace at His redemption at Christ. And what else was it? Expense. He done everything that He knew how. And He done the ultimate. He paid the ultimate price for my soul and for your soul. And He gave us an opportunity that we can become His children. And we could become His brothers and sisters in Christ. Because that's what Christ is. Jesus Christ is our brother. He's our brother. God is God the Father. And I believe that we could take the God of the Holy Spirit, we could say, well, here's our cousin. But Jesus Christ, He done it all. He done every bit of it for me and you. Nothing else that I could do. There's no kind of money I can come up. I could have went over to Iraq and I could have got all the gold that they had there in Iraq. I could go over to Saudi Arabia and I could get all the gold that they got in Saudi Arabia. I can go to all these countries and I can bring back all the gold. I can fill this building up with the gold that this world here has to offer, that we can stack it one by one. We can stack it on edge. One bar, two, three, four. We can stack it bar after bar after bar, as high as the ceiling. Not just in the sanctuary, but go back in the back and start back there. And come up, come all the way up. Every place that's where this open, we could place the bars there of gold. And I could present all of that gold to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what God the Father would say? It's not enough. Not enough. You didn't give your life. My son gave his life. My son gave his life. That we could have life, and we can have it more abundantly, and we don't have to fear about death, because to the Christian, death never comes. Oh yes, we may leave this world, and we may drop off the old fleshly body, and it may be laying here in a casket right here. But once you take that last breath, you're in the presence of Almighty God. You're there with Him, and you're not here anymore. You're there with Him, and thank God for that. Because I don't believe that, even if I had to go by the casket, if I had to go by the grave, and if my spirit lived within everybody, I'd be so scared to death right there, because I hate to be closed up. I hate to be in darkness all the time. But see, we're not in darkness. We're in a true light. And that light is Jesus Christ. But talking about all of that, something over here in Revelation 19, and I think it's in the first part of the book of, the chapter of 19. It's right down here at verse 7. 19 verse 7. It's speaking about the marriage of the Lamb. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. The Lord Jesus Christ, He saved us so that where we could go out here and we could do what He asked us to do. And we are the only ones that can make ourselves ready. We can make ourselves ready. We need to do what He asked us to do. If we have someone that we know that we need to go and talk to, and we need to go and speak to, we need to do it, because time is running out. I know we got the election coming up on Tuesday, but did you realize that maybe Tuesday may never come for us? It may come for all the other people that don't know Jesus Christ, but there's a possibility that it never will come for us. Why? Because I'm looking for the great appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm looking for His appearing when He steps out on the cloud there. And when he turns to the side, to Gabriel, and He says, "Now I want you to blow the trumpet." We need to have our hearing aids on. We need to do that. We need to have our spiritual hearing aids on, to where we hear the voice of God when He says Gabriel. And then we know it ain't going to be nothing but a split second right then that we're going to be gone. I'm going home. I'm not going to be here no more. I'm not going to be here standing behind this desk anymore. I'm not going to be up here anymore. I'm not going to have an opportunity to come back and unlock the doors and come in and Faith Baptist Church. Why? Because I'm going to be there in heaven. I'm going to be there with the one that died for me. The one that paid the ultimate price for my soul. We are His wife. What it says right here in verse 7 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. Have you made yourself ready? Are you ready to meet the Lord right now? Am I ready to meet Him right now? It's what that verse is saying. Am I ready to meet Him? We need to make ourselves ready. We need to make ourselves to the point that where we are ready, and we know that we can go through this day and knowing that any moment that Jesus Christ could come. We don't need to worry about nothing. I don't know who said it, but somebody once said one time, says, people that worry, they says 99.9% of what an individual worries about never comes to pass. It don't come to pass. Why? He's not going to allow it to come to pass. He's not going to allow us to worry about that, because he knows if we worry about, if we continue to worry about certain things, then we're not going to have the right mind, the right attitude, and the right heart to go out and to witness for. We need to have the right mind. We need to have the right heart. The kind of wife that Jesus Christ wants us to be to the Father in heaven. Wife has made herself ready. Wife. That is symbolic right there. Of a Christian. And we need to look at it as the Christians that we are. The kind of wife that Christ wants his Father to have. Now, Christian right now, she's not married. I don't think she's thinking about getting married, because she's told us, she says, I ain't had no man tell me how I can spend my money. And she said, he ain't going to tell me how to spend my money. I'll spend my money the way I want to spend it. I said, well, okay. I said, but you know. But we all, as Christians, she's not married to an individual here on earth. But for Jesus Christ to consider her, says right here in the book that he is a wife. He's a wife of who? God the Father. Have you ever thought about this? The Lord Jesus Christ, he was born. He had an earthly mother, but no earthly father. He had an earthly mother, but no earthly father. And the Father in heaven, he had. No heavenly father. He had no heavenly mother. You say, preacher, what are you trying to get to? We're his wife. He loves his wife. I love my wife. But I'm not supposed to love her as much as I'm supposed to love God. God has to be the core of my life. The wife that loves him. Do we really love our helpmates? And I know that, you know, some of you, you know, you've lost your helpmates. I understand that. But did you love them when you had them right there with you? Not only that, have you got children that is married? Have you got a son that's married? Have you got a daughter that's married? What is their relationship with our helpmate? What is it? They need to have the same kind of relationship that they have with God with their own family. But you know, that's not like it today. You go ahead and you talk to people. You can talk to whoever you want to. And they got in that back of their head. And you can tell exactly what they're saying to their own trail. Don't even have to say it out loud. I got plenty of time. I got all time in the world. But they don't realize that all time is coming to an end. And I think it's going to come to an end real quick. Like I said, it can come before Tuesday. And we don't have to go through all of that. Now, I don't know how it's going to come about. Because I do know what the scripture talks about when it talks about Antichrist. And talks about the 7 years of tribulation. You got 3.5 years. The first 3.5 years is going to be peace. As they think it's peace. But there's not going to really be peace. It's going to be harmony among the people. They're not going to be out here doing the things that they're doing today. Why? Because the Antichrist wants to suck them in a little more. Wants to suck them in a little more. And a little closer to him. And if he does that, he says, I got him. I got him now. But you know something? I don't have all that many. I need to go over here and talk to these others. Says, have you ever seen a time in past when everything was so good? That goes back to what Barack Obama was talking about here the other day. Talking about voting. He was like that for Hillary and all that and everything. And he was on the stump and all of that mess. And then he was just telling the people there. He says, do you want to go back 50 years ago? Or do you want to go forward? Right at the moment, the 50 years looks better. Because he don't even know what he was talking about then. But the 50 years seems a whole lot better than it does right now. But he was talking about the last 8.5 years. Look at what I have done. Look at what we have done. We have brought jobs back. The companies, we've brought so many companies back. We've got a health care program. Look at what we've done. And he's trying to make everybody feel good. Thank God I ain't got no feel good salvation. I got a blood bought salvation. It ain't no feeling good about it. Because if you feel good, I'd like to be able to talk to you a little bit. Because a Christian should never get to that point in their life that they feel that good. What are you saying, preacher? Well, and we're Christian. We're supposed to feel a little better than what everybody else is. Yeah. But
The reason we shouldn't feel good is because when we do, we get a little head-minded, a little per se cocky about it, everything. We think, hey, there's nothing that we can't do. But if we so feel good about the way things are going, things are not going to get no better. Because that's what they was talking about over in the book of Proverbs. That's what Solomon was speaking about there. He says, where the individual, that's basically who he's talking to, the individual, where people, where the individual that has no vision, it will perish. How do we receive that vision? By going out and visiting people, seeing the type of life that they're in. They're hurting. They are hurting today. But they're not going to complain about us about it. How many of you had this week or the last couple of weeks complained about it? Is heard complained about it? They're not going to complain about it. And the reason for that is because they really don't want us to be all they're concerned about them. But we need to get concerned. I'm sure I am thankful that there was three men in Danville, Virginia. All three of them live within probably 4 or 5 miles of each other. But I sure am glad that they failed to have a need to come to my home and share the gospel with me. Because if they hadn't have come and shared the gospel with me when they did, I would hate to say where I would probably be in. If I was still living, I would hate to see what and where I'd be in. But the way my life was going, I wouldn't have lived that much longer, because that's when God spoke to them people. When God speaks to an individual to go and visit somebody, we can't help it. We're not going to be all happy about what we're about ready to do. Because the first thing that we need to do as Christians, and the first thing that we need to do as the wife of God, is that we need to get concerned about that individual soul right here. And we need to get on our knees and we need to pray and we need to ask God's direction for it. You know I'll go if you tell me to go and visit somebody. I'll go. But see, the thing about it is, God did not speak to me about it. God spoke to you about a certain individual that to go visit and everything. But we need to be mindful to what God is speaking to us to do. And when we do, we say, well, God, I really don't know what to do after God tells the Lord. I just don't know. I'm liable to get so tongue-tied and everything. I don't know scripture. I don't know scripture that much that where I can quote verses of scripture. You don't have to quote verses of scripture. We don't have to quote that. We don't have to do any of that. All we have to do is just tell people what God has done for us. How good God's been to us. And it's not a bed of roses. He didn't promise me that there would be a bed of roses.
He did not promise me that everything was going to be okay. He did not promise me that everything that I come up against and I face, that I would not have no hardship. He didn't promise me that I won't have these things. These things come to us. Why? Because we are Christians. Because, like it or not, and you can after service this morning, you can come to me and you can tell me what you think about the idea that I'm about ready to say. We as individuals, we need to be thankful, in which we are. I can ask each and every one of you to stand up and give a word testimony, testify. And I don't believe that there's a one here that probably the first two or three words that comes out of your mouth, that you'll be thankful to God. We're thankful. I'm so thankful that I know Him. I'm so thankful that I've had an opportunity to know you. Each one of you has been a blessing to me. Y'all have. You've been more of a blessing to me than I know I've been to y'all. Because I'll be honest with you. And I know probably some of you may think and say, well, you know, we don't have that many people to answer. What can you be thankful for? Hey, one thing I can say. Any preacher, any pastor wants to, or anybody can ask me, say, well, how many did you have this morning? I said, we had 100%. Well, how many was that? I don't count them. It was between 1 and 200. I didn't count them. I ain't like some of these preachers who have to get up here. Some of them, if they don't get up and count and see how many they got, then when they do, they get up in the pulpit and they all discouraged. And don't get me wrong. Now, I've been discouraged, yes. But I've been more encouraged than I've been discouraged. Why? Because I know each one of y'all. Some of you I haven't known, but a little over 2 years, 2.5, going on 3 years. I don't know you before that. I didn't need to know you for that. I need to know you now. And I know now in whom you love. I know you love your family. You love your friends. You love people. But with all that love wrapped up in the one, we'll never surpass the love that you have for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for you. I really am. And I know I don't say it that often, but I love you. I love you as my sister and my brother in the Lord. And I'll go as far as saying this. I love you
It don't make no difference. I just love you. But who put that love there? The Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how many of you have really thought about really being a wife to the Father in heaven. But see, Jesus Christ, He made all of that possible when He went to Calvary. You know, He didn't have to go. He could have said, no, Father, I'm not going. I'm sorry. I'm not going. I just can't see me going and hanging on that cross for them low down sinners. I can't see it, Lord. I can't see it. So send somebody else. Did you realize that God would have took somebody else and send somebody else in the place of Jesus? And Jesus would have been just another man. He would have been just another man. See, no, He didn't do that. He says, Father, not my will, but Thy will be done. Not my will. I don't want a part of it, Lord. I don't want a part of it. But Father, You do what has to be done. I'm thankful. I'm thankful and I'm grateful. For Him saving me. He didn't have to save me. He didn't have to save you. But He did. You know why? Because He's seen something and He knows something in your life that He wanted. He wanted you. He wanted your very best. He knew before He saved you that when you come to church and when you join the church, He knew that you'd be faithful to His house. He knew that you'd be faithful to Him. That right there is saying a whole lot. I'll tell you. People today, they happy-go-lucky and all that and everything. And they'll use the word luck. As well, I'm sure glad it did this happen. They talk about luck. I don't believe in luck. Luck ain't going to get me nowhere. I thank the Lord for His grace, for His mercy, for His long suffering, for His meekness. I just thank Him. I'm not giving the devil no thing to look to. The devil, he's the father of all lies. Nah, that's why I get it. But no, the devil, that's the only thing he knows how to do is tell a lie. Do you know people like that? That every time that they speak, a lie comes out?
Yeah. I know a few of them.
Huh?
I know a few of them.
Melissa, the president.
Yeah,
Melissa, the president.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know that one. But I'm talking about really the individual that you know and you have talked to. I worked with an individual. And I'll be honest with you, that individual, he really would. If you happen to Brother Bill, if you happened to went out here and you was out here cutting grass, and something happened to you and you fell off, and you ripped your shirt, and if he was passing by, and if he saw you, he would turn back around, come up the driveway, and come to you and offer you his shirt. Every time, he would do it. Ain't no telling how many times that he didn't come to my rescue at times when I didn't have even a dollar to even go out and buy anything to where I could eat lunch on. He said, "That's okay." He said, "Yeah." He gave me $5 to go out there and buy what you want to. Which back then you could buy, you spend $5 for food, you had enough all week. But not today. But the thing about it was, if he won't talk to someone about that, any other thing, every time he opened his mouth, there was a lie coming out. That's the way it was. I don't know if somebody done something wrong to him or something down the road, but I'll tell you one, he was a good-hearted man, but he just could not get away from the lie. He just could not get away from it. There are people like that. And they think that they are, I don't know really what they think they are doing. But they think that if they can just get other people to listen to them. Some people, they just do it to get attention too. They will do it to get attention. They'll do it to get over on you. They will do it to get ahead of you. if they want something bad enough, they'll go home and they'll sit there on the couch and they think they're watching TV. They ain't watching TV. They are thinking about the next lie that they can come up to where they can end up getting the position or whatever they want. You can't do it. They think they're going to get away with it. They ain't not going to get away with it either. Because the judgment seat of Christ
for the Christian is coming.
But the white throne judgment is also coming too. And that's coming for them that's lost. Father, we thank you, Lord, today. Father, for some things, Father, that you opened my eyes up to. Father, where it says the wife, and I know it's speaking about the Christian. The wife is the Christian, the bride of Christ, which is a Christian. But, you know, I was thinking about it before, and I was even thinking about it when I was working on this message, and Father, even that. And Lord, and when I was going over it, I was thinking about the bride. That I was the bride of Jesus Christ. No. But I'm thankful, Father, that you opened my eyes up. And Lord, that you spoke to my heart. That I'm not the bride of Jesus Christ. I'm the bride of the Father. Because the Father has no wife there in heaven. And the only wife that he's looking for is within each and every one of us. Father, He wants us to live the life, the Father, that other people can see Christ in our life and see also the God the Father there also. We thank You, Father. I thank You, Lord, that You have placed me here. I don't know why. Father, I know, Lord Jesus, that they could have got them another preacher. They could have got them another pastor. And maybe the health would have been in better shape where they could go out here and they could do more. And maybe the church would grow. But Father, I believe I'm here because this is where You wanted me. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm asking You, Lord, today, that if it's any way possible, give these people the desires of the heart and the longing that they've been for. And Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that You will allow me to be Thy servant. And Father, we pray, with Your help, I'll do everything that I can possible to live the life that You asked me to live. Help me to be the very best pastor, preacher that there is, Father, in Your flock. Lord, because really I don't know why I'm here. The only thing I do know is You sent me here. I love these people. I love them so much. And I love this church so much, Father, that I do not want to stand in the way. I don't want to stand in the way where the lost cannot come in. I don't want to stand in the way where the church can't grow. I just don't want to stand in the way. So, Father, I pray today that You'll help me to understand the reason that we're here. Father, we thank You and we love You. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.